Previously.tv Podcast Network.
You don't tape record people's conversations.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode, Season 8, Episode 16, Illegal Tender. And now, your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
I'm an idiot.
Can't get left.
Hi.
Hello.
Let's talk about this nonsense, shall we?
Oh, yes. We shall.
Okay, starting with our C-plot, once again in the plot basement, Carly, as we are forced to ask, is Carly a worse parent than Steve? So what happens in the first scene of the storyline is Carly was working. Steve brings Zach back from a dinner and movie date or whatever, and they're in the parking lot at the Peach Pit, and Zach goes to run to Carly. And Steve was not holding his hand, and he kind of runs out, and it's like a car is coming, and he ducks back before the car hits him. But Carly makes a huge fucking federal case about it and says maybe she wasn't right to trust Steve with Zach after all because he's so irresponsible, blah, 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 blah. Surely you see where this is going. So the next day she's at a mall with Donna and they're all watching a clown. It's honestly hard to tell whether Zach or Donna is more delighted by said clown's performance. By the way, Dave, they're at 8000 Sunset, where the Lemley theaters were then, that are now the fancy Lemley theaters where we saw Snowpiercer. Anyway, Zach's attention is Zach's attention is drawn by yet another clown with balloons. And when he lets go of one that goes flying, Zach takes off after it, goes up the escalator. Just like that, Carly's lost him. They flip out. Zach runs into a guy who offers him candy. Is he a nice guy or a bad guy? Well, Donna finds a woman who saw Zach holding hands with a guy she assumed was his father. And Carly hilariously jumps to the conclusion that Zach has been kidnapped. Like, who would want him? I mean, he's cute, but like, it's not like he's a limber baby. So, of course, when Carly hysterically bursts into the security office, Zach is totally there because the dude with the candy brought him there. And he's lying on a fully made bed that is for some reason in the office, like behind the reception desk. It's extremely weird.
Does he just have a bed in every like zip code?
I don't know. Like a couch. Just put him on a couch. That would make sense. There are couches in offices, but like.
Also, it's day?
Yeah, it's daytime. Time? Anyway, Carly Cold apologizes. Flaps. Oh, God. Yeah. So Carly apologizes for coming down so hard on Steve. They agree to help each other hold on to Zach and to each other. Snore. End of story. On to our B-plot, drama at the After Dark. So it turns out David's biggest fan is David, who bores everyone in the B office reading his review out loud. Specifically, his first review is a pan of someone named Jamie Blake. And what do you know? She happens to walk in as he's reading this review and confronts him to his face for the trash he wrote in clip two.
Thanks for ruining my career.
Look, I just wrote what I thought.
Who cares what you think? You don't know anything about music.
That's not true.
Look, those who can, do. Those who can't, write reviews.
Well, I'm entitled to my opinion.
Your opinion got me fired.
Fired?
After your hatchet job came out, the club owner dropped me.
Hey, I'm sorry.
I worked hard to get where I am. A few careless words and you tear it all down.
Well, I didn't mean for that to happen.
Then you're even more thoughtless than I imagined.
Oh, you can't possibly imagine how thoughtless he is.
No, you really can't. This is the tip of the thoughtless berg.
Yeah.
But the last time he was in the poo stall, did he light a match? No, he did not.
But David feels real bad. So bad, in fact, that he tries to get Val to book Jamie at the Peach Pit After Dark. She takes a bet on her cell phone while he's sitting there, but he doesn't know the lingo and lets her put him off by saying that a reference to Punch is about a possible tropical night at the club. And she finally agrees to book Jamie on David's recommendation alone. So at the club, Donna and Noah get horny about boxing and there's more tongue, which I regret to tell you is in the visual aids because, yes, I gift it. I have a problem. And Noah seems to sense that something is up with Val and Duke. and then busts into Val's office as she's handing over the cash for all the bets that she took. And Duke isn't happy since Val had told him that the owner was cool. He's not. And apologizes to Noah, saying he runs a business too. And then Noah refuses to let him take the cash. This isn't over, obviously. And when he's gone, Val whines that Noah just cost her a lot of money, to which he snaps that bookmaking is illegal. But after he is flounced out, she gets another call and she takes another bet back on the horse race. The next day, David is supervising a sound check for Jamie and telling her he actually thinks she's great after all. And she gives him a thank you peck on the cheek just as Val walks in. David makes introductions and Val tightly says she talked to the manager at Jamie's last club. Jamie says she had an off night, which happens, but Val orders her not to let it happen again. And then Val goes to fight with Noah upstairs about the bookie money, and she tells him to trust her, but he doesn't. With pretty good reason, I guess. And outside, David and Val fight about David's interest in Jamie. He claims only to be attracted to her talent and says he wishes he were on stage like she is. Val tells him to do it, but he says it's not that easy, and he doesn't want to invest in things that aren't going anywhere, like their relationship if she doesn't get over her jealousy. And then Val and Duke meet to talk terms. She claims she'll handle Noah. He's sending an associate named Jack to collect tonight and hands over her latest cut. And then Val finds David at home later to apologize and leads him downstairs, where she's set up the state-of-the-art Casio that she's bought him with her dirty gambling money. She likes investing in things that are going somewhere, she says, but he can't accept it because he wouldn't be able to pay her back, and apparently she'll take it in trade on her ass. Jamie shows up at Peach Pit after dark to see David again noodling around on the keyboard. We once again have agreed on terms in clip three.
Those who can't review.
Sounds like you can.
No, it doesn't. Sounds like a Seventh Heaven outro that was rejected for being too schmaltzy and 80s. Shut up, Jamie. Don't help.
It does. Furthermore, Jamie then has to be bored by David's musical aspirations, and they get on the subject of stage fright, and he figures, like, the reason that she was bad the night he saw her was that she had stage fright, but, like, that's part of a performance. Like, it's relevant. It's not like that excuses her being bad. If she was bad because she had stage fright, then she was bad. That's the job of being a musician. Am I wrong?
Don't ask me.
All right. I'm just saying, like, it's not irrelevant to what he was saying. Like, if she sucked because she had stage fright, she still sucked. Anyway.
Yeah, true.
His advice is that she should focus on someone in the audience, and she plans to focus on him. And at the show, she calls David up on stage at Val's earlier suggestion. Supposedly, there's a critic there from The Times, LOL. What better than to get David up to play a song with the band for the very first time ever? And then Jack shows up to get his take in the middle of the song. So when David looks up for Val to be his touchstone, she's gone and he has to look at Donna instead. And uh-oh, it wasn't Jack, it's a cop. And he arrests Val for illegal betting. And when Noah runs over to see what's up and says he's the owner of the club, he also gets arrested. And it is hilarious. He makes it, the stupidest face.
He really does. I mean, what other kind of face can he make? Like, he only has two, stupid and stupider.
Yeah.
But this one is stupider. He's trying to look offended, but it actually looks like there's a small bee in his nostril. It's pretty great. I mean, I love this guy. He's fucking terrible and his hair is idiotic, but he's hilarious.
He is funny. Not intentionally funny, but funny.
Yeah, we'll take it.
On to the A-plot, Brandon blackmailed by Bennett. So Brandon shows up at Emma's to yell at her about the tape of him confessing their tryst. Demand to know whether there's another copy she plans to say sent to Kelly. She won't say either way. Clip four.
Emma, I'm sorry that I hurt you, but I don't see how hurting Kelly is going to make that any better.
You hurt me. I hurt Kelly. Kelly hurts you. Gotta admit, it's got a certain symmetry.
Is this the only copy?
Go to hell.
I mean, like, yay, but also... what happened to that whole speech about being a freelancer and wanting to fuck a bunch of people? Like, you fucked him. You're done. Mm-hmm. Find someone else to fuck. You were a playmate. You could do it.
Honestly. Yeah. She's really beautiful. It's a shame that she's focused on Brandon because he does not deserve it.
Also, there was
they also have no chemistry.
Three parties in there, so it's kind of hard to be symmetrical in that situation.
Yeah, that's true.
I was thinking that too. Thank
you. So after the credits, Steve is telling Brandon they need Emma back on staff. They've never gotten so much mail in all their weeks of existence. Also, this is where we learn that she was an advice columnist, supposedly. Steve tries to overrule Brandon as a publisher, so Brandon is forced to confess that he fucked her. And Steve is hilariously here for this juicy gossip. Please go to the visual aids to see the face he makes because he fucking loves it. And Brandon excuses himself thusly, clip 5.
Want to talk about it? Not much to say. I'm a cad.
Cad?
What are you for fucking Clarissa? What are you, a mountebank? What the fuck are you talking about?
My notes say, oh, for fuck's sake, Reverend Milton, why not go the whole hog with rotter, bounder, blackguard?
God. So to Steve's question, Brandon says Kelly doesn't know, but then we cut to his screen, double LOL, and see he's written the salutation of a letter of confession in like fucking word perfect.
Word perfect.
So Steve, who has loved Kelly in one way or another since high school and before he knew Brandon, orders Brandon not to do it and instead drafts a version of Brandon's transgression and proposes that they make Kelly the new advice columnist. Again, evidence she can write, zero. Then they can see what Brandon should do, and if Kelly reacts badly, Steve won't say anything. And Kelly is, of course, into advice columning, though she's also disappointed that Emma's not doing it anymore. And she reads Steve's version of Brandon's affair story, which, of course, is told from the Kelly perspective. She asks what Brandon would do, and he refuses to answer until she says she wants the male perspective. So, clip 6.
Okay. Well, the guy did wrong. No question about that. But maybe he's learned his lesson. Does she want to throw away what seems like a perfectly good relationship based on one little slip-up?
That's a valid point.
I mean, he did come clean about it. If he tells her the truth about that, I mean, he'd tell her the truth about anything.
Huh.
It could actually build trust in the relationship.
Really, you think? Wow. Thanks.
Well, what about you?
I don't know.
You don't have a gut feeling?
Yeah.
Well, what is it?
Something I want to sleep on.
She's being so idiotically chirpy, it's like she knows, but she doesn't.
Yeah.
Also, I love the idea of, like, this is giving him the chance to be the truthiest anyone's ever truth. It means he's good, right? No.
No. That's... it's not how that works.
Mm-mm.
Low pockets. Sorry.
No. So the next day, Steve is also up Kelly's ass about her answer to the one and only letter they apparently got. And he and Brandon double team her on the importance of weighing her response with extreme care because it could change someone's life. And later, Steve and Brandon tensely wait in the living room for Kelly to deliver her answer. Brandon wants to tell her the truth. Can't even look her in the eye. She comes down and Steve takes off so that Brandon can take forever to come out with it already. Clip 7.
I need to tell you something, and you're not going to like it.
You can tell me anything, Brandon.
People make mistakes. People do stupid things. Let Steve get it. You know that letter you were reading me last night?
Yeah, the one that Steve keeps asking me about?
Yeah. That...
this is driving me crazy. Hang on.
Hello?
Yeah, it's me.
Emma, I don't think you should be calling here.
Do you mind explaining that?
Emma, look. I know this is gonna hurt, but you gotta listen to me, okay? The affair, it's totally over. The calling, it's gotta stop.
Kel?
That was Emma on the phone. Torn in two. That was about Emma.
Hey, Kelly, listen.
No wonder he's been hounding me, waiting for my reply. What, does he think I'm just going to forgive him? Worse, does he think Carly's just going to forgive him?
I think you got this wrong.
Brandon, I just heard him talking about an affair. Steve slept with Emma.
Let me go to the grocery store. You guys want anything?
No, I'm not hungry. Excuse me.
You told her?
Not exactly.
I mean, like, the whole rest of the scene was irrelevant to me because, first of all, to, like, quit stalling. I mean, I get it, but this should have happened 2 episodes ago. Get on with it. Mm-hmm. But I cannot stand it. This is a variation on, oh, I'm sorry, what were you going to say? Nothing.
Uh-huh.
Like, I need to tell you something and you're not going to like it. You can tell me anything. Like,
no.
That is no. Never anyone's response. It's like, no. What did you do? Immediately, what did you do?
Yeah,
or
of course.
What did the cats do in my case?
Right.
Probably Dan didn't do anything, but someone did something stupid and I won't like it. Then I'll be like, what? You can tell me anything. Like, actually, no, you can't. Don't tell me.
Mm-mm.
That I got a parking Ugh. Ticket. Don't tell me that.
No. So after commercial, Brandon has to eat shit at the Beat office, apologizing for selling Steve out for his own sake. And Steve reminds him that he was about to tell Kelly, which Brandon counters by saying that Steve talked him out of it. And right on cue, Kelly walks in and reads Steve for his infidelity, including how she had hoped Brandon would have been a good influence on Steve. And in response, Steve just asks Kelly not to tell Carly, and she says she won't because it would hurt her, not because Steve deserves it. And then Kelly goes to Emma's apartment to slap her in the face, which you can see in the visual aids, as a prelude to there's Three's Company-esque misunderstanding, clip 8.
I'll play clip 8, but we buried the lead, which is I suspect Sarah got a parking ticket recently.
No, I thought Dan got a parking ticket. That because he was going to be the one
we'll never know.
Well, I guess suppose we won't. I deserve that.
That's the least you deserve.
I'm surprised Brandon told you.
He didn't have to.
Oh, you found out on your own? Oh, do tell. I'm sure there's a good story in that.
He doesn't love you, Emma.
And I don't love him. But the sex was great.
How can you pass Doubt yourself it. Off as a friend?
Trick of the trade. To get a good story, you have to lower people's guard. Same with guys.
And breaking up a happy couple, that means nothing to you.
People who are happy don't stray. And the truth is, he was much happier when he was with me.
I heard him tell you it was over. Not to call, not to come by. It didn't sound like Steve was very happy to me.
Steve? Steve Sanders?
Yes, Steve Sanders. Who else was he?
But I never slept with Steve.
Emma, I heard the call, okay? I heard him tell you the affair was over.
My affair wasn't with Steve. It was with Brandon.
You're lying.
I want you to come inside. There's a tape you need to listen to.
I just love that she has a tape.
I know.
I mean, it's...
I don't love that all this effort is being expended on Brandon.
Oh,
except
my.
Except that now
no.
that it's to just, like, whatever, funnel bees up his pant leg, I am so with it.
Totally.
Emma for president.
So back at the Beat office, Steve is listing all the shitty things he's done to Brandon over the years in order to get Brandon to say that Steve taking the rap for his cheating makes them even for all of it. Unfortunately, that's when the fax machine, the 90s, dings with Kelly's answer to the lovelorn letter writer, clip 9.
Dear Tornin 2, men say all the same thing when caught cheating. I felt nothing for her. It only happened once. It'll never happen again. Believe any of it and you deserve what you get.
You can never trust a cheater.
Without her trust, you have no relationship, so dump the guy
now before he cheats again.
And you'll really be torn in two. So much for telling her the truth. Circle gets the square on that one.
Okay, so Ian Ziering misread the letter that was
yes.
in his hand. It's men all the say the same thing, not men say all the same thing. Duh. But no time or anyone caring for a second take, I guess.
Also, circle gets the square on that one.
Yeah.
What's wrong with seldom right and wrong again, my friend? Or well, 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 welly, well, well.
So
Brandon,
sorry. So Brandon comes home that night to find Kelly waiting in the living room with Emma's tape all queued up to play for him. And this is the fight that ensues. Clip 10.
When she played me that tape, I thought it was edited together somehow to make you sound like a monster. It's only listening to it now that I realize that's exactly what you are.
Kel, I'll do whatever it takes to fix this.
How? Tell me it didn't mean anything.
It didn't.
You don't care about her.
I don't.
I'm the one you love, right?
You are.
Only makes it worse, Brandon. No. You just stay right there, okay? I'm moving back to Donna's. I don't want you to call me. I don't want you to come over. Are we clear?
Kel.
Are we clear?
Yeah, we're clear.
I have a question here for you guys.
Uh-huh.
Who would you say she is choosing in this scenario?
Maxell super long play. Absolutely.
Also, I know he's a bad person. Clearly, no one's going to argue that. But like, monster, it's not like he slept with a child. Like, he's just an asshole. Let's be reasonable.
Although, I don't know, like the expression that he's wearing, which is the typical like going for concern brow, landing on loathsome. And the pronunciation of like, yeah, we're clear. Like, why not just up the ante with Crystal and do some finger guns, twat?
RIP to this relationship. No one is sad to see them break up, especially not for this reason, with Brandon having to tarnish his stupid, unearned golden boy mantle. Hate! let's wrap it up with the MVP of the episode. Emma and her tape.
Oh God. Pronunciation of hate, I think, is my MVP. But since I probably can't pick this, I'm gonna go with Jamie, who it was terribly acted, but she managed to say a bunch of true shit to David that he unfortunately took to mean that he should start Casio noodling again, but still, go Jamie.
Yeah, that's fair. Least valuable player. Brandon, obviously, and not only for the cheating, but for selling out Steve, who's actually being a decent person for once, other than telling him not to tell Kelly.
Well, yeah. Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Eight. User submitted challenge.
I scored some amazing stones.
At Missy Kerrigan would like us to list five ways the episode could have been improved by a Jim or Cindy cameo. Well, Cindy would have read Brandon to filth for cheating on Kelly. I would have loved to see that.
That's true. The next fax should have been from Jim being like, just a reminder, your rent's due. Just a pile on.
Yeah, Jim probably would also try to intervene with Val and her illicit money grubbing schemes, the accounting of it all.
True. Cindy would totally have known where to find Zach.
Doesn't Jim like to go play basketball with Brandon every time he has sex?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
but
true.
This is ways to improve the episode, not make it worse.
Oh.
Yeah, Cindy wouldn't have lost Zach, for sure. She would have found him if someone else had been responsible for him, but if she had been there, she would have been keeping eyes on him, head on a swivel, not looking at the stupid clown, Donna.
Yeah.
That makes five.
Oh, yeah, that's me. Sorry. Next time on Again With This, the punishment does not fit any crime when Val pulls community service at the clinic. Carly ditches the zip to chase her Oscar dreams, I mean care for her sick father in Montana, And Silver S. Thompson is the latest gangster not to understand Thing One about reporting or journalistic ethics. You'll know Thing One about nausea when you fall into the cleavern of our visual aids, which you can find for this and every other episode at our website, previously.tv. Follow that website on Twitter, at previouslytv. You can follow this podcast on Twitter, at AWT90210. Not much else to say. I'm Cad Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Scoundrel Tar Ariano. She's on Twitter, at Tar Ariano. And our producer is Knave David T. Cole. He's on Twitter, at Clark. Talk to you next time.
Hi. You know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.